Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. And from Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys, Florida's advocates for seniors and persons with disabilities. Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys. More information about AFELA's policies at afela.org. From the state capitol, WFSU Public Media brings you Capitol Report.
The president of the Florida Senate finds himself under attack from some members of his own party. Now he's getting bipartisan support.
If there's one thing that President Gavano is not, is a rhino.
Also tonight, Governor DeSantis wants to bring a few more state agencies under his exclusive control. That idea has its friends in the legislature.
The DNA of a legislator, we fix problems, and this is one that we want to look at and one that we want to address.
We'll also talk about abusive teachers, more protections for high school athletes, more exemptions to the state's open records law, and more penalties for those who illegally kill black bears. As the second week of the 2020 Florida lawmaking session nears its end, I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report. Senate President Bill Galvano has been under fire for accepting campaign contributions from gun control advocates and for supporting a universal background check bill. Now his colleagues, Republicans and Democrats, are coming to his defense. Lynn Hatter has more.
Galvano tasked Republican Senator Tom Lee to come up with a plan to address gun violence. The result is a bill requiring background checks for private sales in public places. Think gun shows. The so-called gun show loophole has long been targeted by advocates, and closing it has been a struggle in Florida. That's due to active opposition from conservatives and gun rights groups like the National Rifle Association.
If anyone votes in favor of this bill, it's like a doctor giving a patient an antibiotic for a virus. The doctor knows it won't cure the illness, but at least he can make people think he's doing something.
That's longtime NRA lobbyist Marion Hammer. In recent days, Galvano has been the target of attacks from the likes of North Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz and Donald Trump Jr. He blasted the Senate president over his support for the bill and for accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the group Every Town for Gun Safety. That group was created by Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, who's now running for president. Trump Jr. called Galvano a rhino, and that's short for Republican in name only. It's a diss aimed at Republicans who aren't considered conservative enough.
I think that the backlash is unfair, dangerous, and completely over the top.
Plantation Democratic Senator Lauren Book calls Galvano a hero and has come to his defense, as has Parkland parent Fred Gutenberg. His daughter Jamie was killed in the 2018 shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School.
I'm not sure Senator Galvano and I would be aligned on a lot of issues. We are on this. And the backlash on him has been distasteful, discivil, unfair. And he's trying to do one simple thing. Be a part of ensuring more Floridians don't die from gun violence.
On the other side of Gutenberg is fellow Parkland dad Andrew Pollack, who is a strong backer of gun rights. On Twitter, he expressed outrage over Galvano's Everytown contributions and his support for the 2018 law that instituted three-day waiting periods for guns, along with a ban on bump stocks and a red flag provision. It lets law enforcement petition courts to remove guns from people deemed to be a threat. Still, Galvano has Republican supporters, like House Speaker Jose Oliva.
If there's one thing that President Galvano is not, is a rhino.
Oliva says the proposed universal background check bill is a non-starter in the House, but adds that's not a reflection of his Senate counterpart.
That probably will not move very far here in the House, if at all, because of the way that, that's just the way that the chambers are. But I think that the pile-on was entirely unnecessary.
Also offering support to Galvano, Governor Ron DeSantis. I'm Lynn Hatter.
To the average Florida resident, who ultimately calls the shots in the running of state government agencies, may not seem like a big deal. But as Steve Bosquet reports, the person who has control of the wheel determines the direction of the vehicle.
A more streamlined government or a power grab? Governor Ron DeSantis wants to change state law so that the heads of two top state agencies report exclusively to him, not to him and the three elected cabinet members. The two officials are the executive director of the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles and the secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection. DEP manages Florida's drinking water, groundwater, rivers, lakes, and beaches, and Highway Safety oversees driver licensing, vehicle registrations, and the Florida Highway Patrol. Under current law, the governor appoints both agency heads, but the cabinet must concur. A sponsor of the bill to change the law is Republican Senator Aaron Bean of Fernandina Beach.
They go, look, there's some departments in state government that don't have the accountability of just one direct line where they're responsible to. They have multiple, and it's creating problems. Creating problems on the cabinet. Can we fix it? Well, the DNA of a legislator, we fix problems, and this is one that we want to look at and one that we want to address.
But Nikki Fried, the only Democrat on the cabinet, calls the idea, quote, a shameless power grab that puts unfettered control in the hands of one individual instead of in the full cabinet independently elected by Floridians. Florida's cabinet is comprised of the Attorney General, Chief Financial Officer, and Agriculture Commissioner, and the power-sharing arrangement with the governor is unique among the 50 states. Fried said Bean's bill would strip away checks and balances and would result in less accountability for all Floridians.
And a man that has four direct line, four bosses on the cabinet could be lost and late because they have no idea, you know, what direction to go in. This is going to bring clarity if we can make these direct lines. I know people will say it's a power grab. It truly is trying to create efficiency in state government.
DeSantis is seeking to consolidate his power in the second year of his term at a time when his popularity with Floridians is very high, according to recent polls. For that reason, Bean said, the new line of authority would be very popular with Republican senators. The state faces many major challenges, from blue-green algae to Everglades restoration to sea level rise. Bean said giving the governor total authority over DEP should not be a concern because the legislature also keeps a close watch on the agency. DeSantis has been in office for more than a year, and he has not suggested a permanent director at Highway Safety. Terry Rhodes continues in the job, as she did under former Governor Rick Scott, but she has not been reappointed by the new administration. More than two decades ago, voters shrank the cabinet from 6 to 3 members. If the governor wins and gets total control over the highway safety and environmental posts, it will strengthen his political hand and be seen as a further weakening of the cabinet's power. I'm Steve Bosquet.
Still to come on Capitol Report, insurance companies might be charging you higher premiums because of diseases you might get in the future. They spot them using your DNA, which may be given to them by an outside company.
These companies actually sharing and selling the information back is a whole different type of exploitation that I just can't support or condone.
Teachers who abuse their students can be fired only to find work in another school district. State lawmakers are looking for ways to prevent that.
What they did learn is that the teacher who did it had done it before and had done it elsewhere and had resigned and left.
Heat stroke takes the lives of more high school students in Florida than any other state. Now lawmakers are considering legislation to improve safety for high school athletes.
No mom should ever drop their kid off at football practice and then never hear their voice again.
And the state of Florida considers higher penalties for those who illegally kill black bears.
It's less of a criminal penalty to kill a bear than to take a turkey one day out of season.
Support for Capitol Report is provided by Cloud Navigator, providing cloud computing services and creating secure and productive workplaces for businesses and government agencies. Cloud Navigator, a Microsoft Cloud Platform partner operating throughout the Southeast. On the web at cloudnav.com.
Palm Harbor Republican Representative Chris Sprouls wrote a recent op-ed piece. In it, he says life insurance companies can use your genetic tests against you. He's highlighting his bill that would stop that. It passed its last stop before the full chamber this week. Blaise Ganey has the details.
Every person has a genetic marker in their DNA. Those markers show that a person may develop a certain disease. As it becomes more and more common to trace your ancestry with at-home genetic testing kits using DNA, health insurance companies are getting access to that information. They then use that to raise a person's premiums based on genetic markers. That's what Sproul's bill would stop. Federal law already prevents the use of genetic markers for health insurance.
What this bill does is expand that prohibition to life, disability, and long-term care insurance.
Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Petronis is in support of the bill.
As I'm very concerned about identity theft when it comes to individuals being taken advantage of, to me, this is just a whole different type of a concern where your DNA without proper disclosure can be used and exploited.
He thinks life insurance should be the same as when he last got it.
You know, look, the last time I bought a life insurance policy, the insurance company at their expense paid for a nurse practitioner to come pay a visit, you know, take my resting heart rate, do a blood test, do all of these different type of health diagnostics. Want to know if I was, a smoker or did I ever consume alcohol?
Adding DNA and genetic markers, he thinks, is just not right.
Crossing into this whole DNA world with it, and these companies actually sharing and selling the information back is a whole different type of exploitation that I just can't support or condone.
Petronis says he likes the concept of the genetic testing companies, but he thinks they ought to tell people what they do with their DNA afterwards.
They're preying on these wonderful reuniting of family stories, which brings a certain level of comfort of putting, you know, family members together that they've never met. So they build this very warm, heart-touching narrative.
Petronis is talking about the deal that was made between 23andMe and GlaxoSmithKline, a pharmaceutical company. The company invested $300 million into 23andMe, and in return, they got to use the DNA results from customers who've bought the company's genetic testing kits. Petronis thinks people should be allowed to keep that information private.
And look, I'm not telling anybody, don't go find out who your great-great-great-great-grandmother was or where she was from. I think it's all fine and well, but you got to create some disclosure, some transparency, and some ability to allow, once you actually perform one of these DNA tests, that you have rights to protect your personal data.
The bill now heads to the House floor, while the Senate version is scheduled for its first hearing Tuesday. I'm Blaze Ganey.
Florida lawmakers want to create a disqualification list for teachers who commit sexual misconduct with a student. Ryan Daly reports bills in both chambers are moving after they died last session.
Too often school employees can engage in sexual misconduct with a student and evade any consequences by moving among schools, districts, and employers.
Republican Representative Wyman Duggan ran the same bill last year, which passed the House unanimously but was ultimately unsuccessful. Now it's back and again has a key senator, Education Chair Manny Diaz, carrying it in the opposite chamber. As it passed its first stop in the House, Duggan told his colleagues of a constituent who recently brought the issue to his attention.
And I had a woman tell me that her 16-year-old son was molested at one of our best charter schools in Duval County, and they did not want to put him through, you know, the stress of a disciplinary proceeding. But what they did learn is that the teacher who did it had done it before and had done it elsewhere and had resigned and left.
The bill includes not only teachers, but educational support staff and administrators. Here's how Duggan explains it.
Prohibits public, charter, and private schools participating in the state scholarship program from employing perpetrators of sexual misconduct with a student, creates screening tools that employers must use to identify individuals eligible for employment, and requires the Commissioner of Education to determine probable cause within 60 days of receipt of a legally sufficient complaint of sexual misconduct.
Even if a teacher or school staffer were to resign or be fired, if a credible accusation exists, they would be placed on the disqualification list. The Jacksonville lawmaker says data backs up the need for his bill.
And according to a 2017 study, half of perpetrators had prior allegations of sexual misconduct with students, and one in three had multiple victims.
Democratic Representative Jennifer Webb asked Duggan about the potential for false allegations.
What considerations have you made for false allegations to make sure that people who
when the investigation proves that they are not, they did not commit whatever allegation was waged against them, that their name doesn't end up on that list.
Duggan says an investigation would have to clear employees.
You can be removed from the list if the person on the list demonstrates that a completed law enforcement investigation resulted in an exoneration or no conviction or finding of guilt.
An investigation by the education agency would have to show no finding of misconduct as well for removal from the list. The bill goes beyond addressing full-time teachers with a state certification. In the Senate, Diaz addressed that during the bill's first committee stop in December.
So this is to prevent folks from falling through the cracks. Like, for example, you have someone who has a district certificate and is a substitute and gets into trouble, and then they go away, and then 2 years later, they come back in and apply, and it was never reported. So this is to catch that.
Last year, North Florida Senator Bill Montford and Leon County School Board member Alva Striplin raised concerns about the lack of a database for substitute teachers. A violent 2018 tragedy in Tallahassee sparked a push for better record-keeping at the state level. Scott Byerly, the man who shot and killed two people, injuring several others in Tallahassee's hot yoga studio in November 2018, had been a substitute teacher in several counties, including Leon. Local leaders in education, like Striplin, became concerned.
It hit really, really close to home. And of course, then as information started surfacing about the shooter, we got word that he had been in our school district. And I was it was just so disturbing.
Byerly was a substitute in Leon between 2015 and 16 and was fired as a substitute by Leon County after he accessed pornography sites on campus. He was later fired by the Volusia County School District for inappropriately touching a student. Montford, who voted up on the bill in its first stop, says it's about accountability.
We, as a state, we've got to make absolutely sure that whoever is around our young people, whether they're substitute teachers, teachers, volunteers, it really doesn't matter, athletic officials, all of them, we have to make absolutely sure that they're screened properly, and if there's a bad actor out there, we need to know who that is and make sure that we have a list of those on the state level.
Not everyone is in favor of the proposal. Keith Flaw is director of the right-leaning Florida Citizens Alliance.
We are struggling to understand the unintended consequences of this bill. It smacks of a government blacklist, and it appears to us to be ripe for abuse for school districts, especially school districts, to undermine the due process of some individuals.
The Florida PTA, meanwhile, is supporting the proposal. The House's version of the bill goes slightly further than the Senate's, giving the Department of Education's Inspector General subpoena authority to call witnesses and demand documents as it relates to misconduct investigations. I'm Ryan Daly.
More high school athletes die from heat stroke in Florida than in any other state, but experts say those deaths are completely preventable. Now a bill is moving through the legislature to require schools to improve better safety policies. Regan McCarthy has that story.
On a hot summer day in 2017, Zach Martin had just finished running sprints with his high school football team in Fort Myers. Moments later, he collapsed.
He suffered a heat stroke. And for the next 11 days, I watched him fight to survive. Those were the worst 11 days of my life.
Lori Giordano is Zach's mom. Zach died from heat stroke, something she says could have been prevented.
Exertional heat stroke is 100% preventable and survivable if we are prepared.
The American College of Sports Medicine says heat stroke has a 100% survival rate when an athlete is rapidly cooled down within the first 10 minutes after collapsing. Giordano started the Zach Martin Foundation to push for change. She says she never wants parents to go through what she went through.
No mom should ever drop their kid off at football practice and then never hear their voice again.
Florida is a dangerous place to play due to the heat.
Robert Sefkik is the executive director of the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program. He also sits on several high school sports safety boards. He says heat stroke presents a serious danger for Florida athletes.
We rank number 14 in the nation for sports safety policies, yet we rank number one with high school related sports injury deaths, and that's due to heat stroke.
Seth Kick says that number can be curbed by requiring schools to follow best practices for heat stroke safety. That includes monitoring students for signs of heat stress, creating cooling zones with cold water immersion tubs, following hydration guidelines, and establishing an emergency plan. A bill sponsored by Lecanto Republican Representative Ralph Mazzullo would require the Florida High School Athletic Association to implement those practices throughout Florida schools.
It'll require all coaches and sponsors of outdoor extracurricular activities to receive annual training in identifying heat stroke symptoms and administering cooling zones. And beginning in June of 2021, it requires an employee or volunteer with the current CPR and AED training to be present at each athletic activity.
The measure also expands rules for annual student-athlete physicals, among other things. Mazzullo says he's certain his bill will save lives. The measure is heading for the House floor. Meanwhile, a similar bill in the Senate is scheduled for its first committee hearing next week. I'm Regan McCarthy.
Among the many public exemption bills coming up in the Florida House and Senate are some that could have major implications on the First Amendment rights of Florida residents. Andriana Thomas and Kayla Gallagher have that story.
Republican Representative Anthony Sabatini says when he was a teenager, he ended up in court.
I actually went to teen court myself when I was about 16 for a fist fight, and now I sit on the Criminal Justice Committee, so I'm a very firm believer in rehabilitation.
Sabatini is a co-sponsor on Democratic Representative Clovis Watson's bills and presented one measure on Watson's behalf. Watson's proposals are aimed at keeping kids out of the criminal justice system.
We know that sometimes juveniles do things that we know that they can learn from, and so keeping them out of the court system is, I think, of great interest to the state.
Sabatini has opposed other public record bills regarding government officials' information. He says lawmakers should be mindful of who or what is getting public record exemptions. He's concerned they are happening too often.
I just think we need to come up with a criteria of which ones are good and which ones are bad. If not, we're really eroding the Florida public records law in general.
I'm Adriana Thomas.
And I'm Kayla Gallagher. There are nearly 90 public exemption bills pending before the legislature. One big battle emerging is a bill to conceal home addresses of legislators. House Speaker Jose Oliva thinks this one is something to take note of.
During the Parkland bill, as you know, tensions were very high, and one person in particular put the addresses of several of our members, including myself, online. And then we had to have police officers stationed in front of the house. And so I think there are certainly times when, particularly with very controversial bills, we live in a time of heightened anxiety. And so I think it's something we should at least look at.
Concerns are high among organizations like the First Amendment Foundation. President Pamela Marsh says that these laws poke holes in the state's open government rules and breeds distrust between government, people, and the press.
Every time they chip away at the public records laws, those freedoms and rights to participate and to have a voice are lessened. You know, that we're prevented from really knowing what our government is doing, and so therefore we're not as able to hold the government accountable.
The First Amendment Foundation is not against every exemption proposal. It's taking a neutral position on a bill to extend police body camera footage exemptions. It prohibits the public viewing and use of body camera footage filmed in private spaces, and it's backed by Republican Representative Jason Schaaf. The renewal bill was voted favorably among the subcommittee. I'm Kayla Gallagher.
The Florida legislature heads into Friday mode tomorrow as we hear from Gina Jordan.
Here's what's coming up at the Capitol. The Senate has no meeting scheduled, and an afternoon floor session planned in the House was canceled. The only committee meeting on tomorrow's agenda is the House Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee. The legislature's Revenue Estimating Impact Conference will meet to review the potential cost of proposed bills. Florida Senate Democrats have tapped Fort Lauderdale Senator Perry Thurston as their next leader. Thurston is expected to take over after the November 2022 elections, when candidates will run in newly drawn districts because of the once-a-decade redistricting process. Thurston is a criminal defense attorney who has served in the legislature since 2006, first in the House before moving to the Senate. He is slated to become Democratic leader after fellow Fort Lauderdale Senator Gary Farmer serves a two-year term that starts after this November's elections. Audrey Gibson of Jacksonville currently leads Senate Democrats. That's some of what's happening at the Capitol. I'm Gina Jordan.
You're listening to Capitol Report from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally tonight, killing a Florida black bear would cost poachers a minimum of $750 under a proposal pending before the legislature. According to the state, there are more than 4,000 black bears living in Florida, and we get the story from Robbie Gaffney.
It's less of a criminal penalty to kill a bear than to take a turkey one day out of season. This bill just puts them on an equal level with deer and turkey.
That's Winter Springs Republican Representative David Smith. He's hoping to raise fines for people who illegally kill black bears. His proposal would also suspend a hunter's license for 3 years. That's an increase over the current rules that set a maximum fine for poaching at $500. A repeat offender could get fined up to $1,000 or jailed for 1 year. Smith says the stricter penalties on his bill are for poachers only.
It has nothing to do with the legal hunting of bears when a season is open. It has nothing to do if you accidentally hit a bear with your car. It has nothing to do if a bear comes in your yard and threatens your family and you defend yourself and your family. This deals with poaching and poaching only.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, or FWC, estimates about 14 Florida black bears were illegally killed each year between 2009 and 2018. Those numbers exclude an authorized hunt in 2015 and euthanasia by the agency. According to the group's bear management plan, the number of bears killed illegally is fairly low and happens mostly from human-bear conflicts, not poachers. But Katrina Shaddix, director of Bear Warriors, a bear conservation group, questions that.
People are really good at getting rid of the evidence.
Shaddix brought the proposal to Representative Smith. She says despite the FWC citing car crashes as the leading cause of black bear deaths, there is still a poaching problem. But she says it's not documented.
There's a motto in the trapping industry and probably in the poaching industry. It's shoot, shovel, shut up.
Shaddix points to a case in 2017 where a man was caught poaching a black bear in the Apalachicola Wildlife Management Area. After being caught, the man admitted to killing 5 bears. He ended up paying a total of $275 in fines and was sentenced to 60 hours of community service. Smith's bill passed its last committee stop unanimously. It will now be heading to the House floor. The Senate version has not yet been heard. I'm Robbie Gaffney.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Ryan Daly, Blaise Ganey, Robbie Gaffney, Lynn Hatter, Gina Jordan, and Regan McCarthy. Thanks also to Steve Bosquet and Adriana Thomas, along with Kayla Gallagher. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us every weeknight at this time throughout the 2020 Florida lawmaking session for more reports from the state capitol.
Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. For more information about Capitol Report and to hear previous episodes, visit WFSU.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: a grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley, supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. And from Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys, Florida's advocates for seniors and persons with disabilities. Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys. More information about AFELA's policies at afela.org.